Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Pagan's Witchy Corner. My name is Pagan, and I hope you guys are having a great day. And I am joined today by very special friends and an awesome guest who's already been on the show once. That is Amy Blackthorne. You guys get to hear all about her book, Blackthorne's Protection Magic, which was awesome. She has so many other really great books, which we all talked about in the other episodes. So if you haven't listened to that one, you can always go back and listen to it. But you can also listen to them out of order. It's not that big of a deal if you do. But today we're going to be talking all about her brand new book that just came out, which is Blackthorne's Botanical Wellness. Such a great book. And also, Amy, welcome to the show and welcome back.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so good for you to be here. I've been looking forward to this. And I was so excited when I saw your book finally come out because I knew that we had talked a little bit about it in the last episode. And I'd been watching for it and watching for it and finally popped up. And I was like, oh, hey, Wiser, I need that. Ship it. I need it.
It's very important.
And I knew that we had talked about you coming back and talking about it. So I'm so glad you're here. How have you been? How's life? How's everything been treating you?
Oh my goodness. It's so busy. I like the good busy that says I feel like I did something, not the yes. overwhelmed busy.
I understand that.
It is a thing.
I completely understand that. I've had one of those weeks where it's also been busy. It's also a good busy, but it's one of those busies where I'm like, if I had to do it again, I wouldn't do it because it was all doctor's appointments and dentist yeah. work and all that stuff. But I totally feel that. So let's talk about this new book. Now, I don't know if everybody, obviously, maybe not everybody has listened to the other episode. What prompted you to write the wellness book?
Oh my goodness. I have been dealing with this wellness journey. 2 months after my 21st birthday, I got run over by a tractor trailer.
Oh my gosh.
Ba-dump, ba-dump, gone. They flew me to the nearest hospital in a helicopter. So my first helicopter ride was super eventful.
I bet.
And since then, a lot of there's some really beautiful books on self-care for witches that have come out. I'd say maybe 20 in the last 5 years, and they're beautiful and they're very sweet and they're very wholesome, but none of them spoke to my experience. I didn't see myself in any of them because none of them talked about chronic pain or chronic illness. And I wanted to be inclusive of my community. I wanted to produce a book that is something that I needed 20 years ago and I didn't have. So that's been my driving force in the books that I choose to write, is making sure that I'm writing for myself 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have a book that spoke to that experience because I know I'm not alone.
Absolutely.
In the US alone, 40% of the population has at least one chronic illness.
I didn't realize it was that high. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know I'm not alone.
Well, it's the thing. People don't take into account things like diabetes are a chronic illness, mm-hmm. even though it's more common, even though it's, it can be very easily controlled for a lot of people, doesn't mean that it's not a chronic illness. They think that it's, 1 or 2 or the percent, it's just those people over there. Mm-hmm. And that's the stigma that we need to do away with.
Oh, girl, preach it. Oh, wow. yes. No, I completely agree with that. I agree with the fact that we don't give a large enough voice to those who are chronically ill or disabled. And a lot of the times those are just the shh, you go stand in the corner and you talk about your stuff over there. We don't need you over here.
But exactly.
The thing is, especially since we have had COVID, we now see exactly how quickly and how easy the tide yes. can change. You can go yes. from being a perfectly healthy adult to completely disabled after one illness.
And well, not only that,
it's so dangerous.
We now see how easy it would have been for us to have work from home jobs
yes.
as disabled yes. people the whole time.
The whole they've
been
time.
Telling us, you can't do that. We can't accommodate you until, guess what? One pandemic and all of a sudden everybody knows how to be accommodating.
Right, exactly. Literally, I feel like Sally Field from Steel Magnolias during the whole time. Yes, that is
the
me.
Whole, yes. yes. Yes.
Also, Sally one of my Field favorite movies, but just, that's okay. But yes, I completely feel that. And your book made me laugh. It made me cry. It it moved me in emotions because it spoke to me. It spoke to me as one of those chronically ill voices that I was like, she's saying all the stuff that I've been wanting people to say for a long time. Wow. Yes. So if you are somebody who is chronically ill or know somebody who is chronically ill or even just wants to cope with some of the things that we deal with, especially trauma and, you know, just dealing with those kind of emotions, go buy a copy. I mean it. Literally, go put it in your cart, pause the podcast, go do it. You will not regret it. I promise. You know somebody who might want this book, who might just need, you know, some comfort in a book knowing that they're not alone. Go add it to your Amazon cart or wherever right now. And Christmas is coming up. Those Black Friday deals are up. I guarantee you can probably find a really great copy of it somewhere on sale right now. Go, go, go. There's my shameless plug. Back to the podcast. but yeah, no, it's one of those things. We could have been accommodating all of these voices for so long. And now we're seeing a lot of those voices. A lot of people are trying to shove them back into that corner. And we're like, no. You listened to us for 2 years. We're not going away now. You get to listen to us forever now. And it's one of those things that having that kind of thing where we see the accommodations happening, we see that it can be done, that we can be helping people in every aspect of from work from home to managing your chronic care and having doctors actually listen to you. That wasn't really a thing beforehand, just for the record, those who may not know. Yeah, having a doctor who validates you and listens to you is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And also just having somebody who's like, hey, I've gone through this too, is a really big deal, even if it's just in written form.
Yeah.
And you are definitely that voice that is like, it's okay that you have this thing. You have these crazy thoughts in your head. You're not a crazy person. You're just chronically ill. It's okay. We are all here. We're in the same boat. You're not alone. Which is a really big deal. It's so big. But you talk about so many cool things in your book. And where's my notebook? Hold on, guys. I have a notebook of notes for this because I'm going to be writing a review for it next week. But it is such a great book because, you know, one of the things that you really talk about that I loved, like literally I was like, if this book was in audio format, which it is, you can get it on Audible. I was one of those people while I was sitting there reading and I was like, yeah, she talks about my things. And that's morning rituals. I love morning rituals so much and how you can make it so much of your mundane practice magical. And you can also bring in that wellness stuff. So let's talk about your rituals and why you decided to put those in the books and just all the coolness. Like I could just gush about your book for days because it was so good.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
I love it. So what is, you know, we talk about the morning rituals, but what prompted you to bring those into the book? And also, what is your favorite morning ritual? So two questions there.
It's really funny because when I get it to go out and, you know, pre-pandemic, go and do events, go do conferences, there's always the sads on Sunday morning because it's time to go and pack up all your stuff and say goodbye to all the new friends you've made. And no one wants to go home. Nobody wants to lose the magic that they felt in that space and in that time. And it's such an important reminder that there is no mundane world. It's just, this is all, this is the whole one we got. This is good, bad, or indifferent. This is the world that we have. Mm-hmm. And you have to give yourself permission to embrace those daily rituals because otherwise you're just spending your life waiting from full moon to feel like your authentic self. And no one deserves that. You deserve to be able to be your authentic self every day.
Yes. Yes. So yes.
My favorite morning ritual is actually making my morning tea because I get the chance to set my intention for the day to create what I want to see in my day just from minute one, moment one.
I love that. I love
I have
that
a tea
so
shop,
much.
So it's a little easier for me to be able to say, okay, I want to go out and kick today in the face. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to reach for some crown of success. I'm going to reach for something that's uplifting with just a hint of caffeine, because I'm not supposed to actually have a caffeine. If I know today's going to be a stressful day and I've got a lot of meetings, I might reach for Tarotonin because it's soothing and it makes me feel like a whole person instead of just a ball of anxiety. It's a vanilla rooibos with some lavender in it. So I know I'm going to feel chill vibes the whole day.
Chill vibes are definitely a good thing, especially if you got a busy day, because that chaotic energy can kick in really quick. And then you're like, oh, why am I having a panic attack?
Exactly. It's a very thin line. I have unmedicated ADHD. Yes. So a little bit of caffeine goes a long way. But there's also that anxiety prong to that. I want to make sure I can get things done without feeling like the world is ending.
Yes, absolutely. And especially when, you know, as somebody who also has ADHD and who's also autistic, you know, you have those days where I call them brain zoomy days.
Yes, yes.
And the brain has got a case of the zoomies. And if anybody is like, zoomies, think of a dog that has the zoomies and you can't sit still and has to bounce off of everything in the house and destroy everything in the process. Yeah, people with ADHD have brain zoomies. And that's kind of what happens. So it's like you're sitting there trying to focus and do your thing, except the brain goes zoom, zoom too fast. And you're like, I don't even know what just happened. And by the time you figure out what just happened, you're like, oh, that was the thing I was supposed to be working on, but it crashed into this other thing. And now I've got a hyper focus. What happened?
Exactly.
And your brain goes zoom, zoom. But yeah, so I have a lot of those. And especially as a witch and somebody who tries to do, you know, the chill, magic, meditative vibes and stuff like that. It's sometimes if your brain has got the zoomies, trying to do that is, I call them Loki moments as well. Like Loki is in charge of those moments where it's like, hey, I'm going to light a candle and I'm going to do this ritual and it's going to be great and it's going to be chill and vibes. And it's like, hey, now we're having a tarot conversation. What? What happened here? How did I go from, you know, doing a ritual to tarot cards? And yes, it is one of those crazy moments that you have. And it's really hard to kind of bring that energy down into a meditative state sometimes. And I really like that a lot of the things in your book that you're like, pick a specific song that might bring into some of that meditative energy or that magical energy, or do the specific ritual, create the specific smell, do the thing that imprints inside the body that makes it to where, oh, we have puppies barking. Puppies want to say hi, everybody, as we talk about zoomies and all that. But have something that comes into the body that creates that basically body/muscle memory and allows you to go, oh, hey, if I smell this or I do this, I can slip into that state easier. And that is a lot easier, especially with somebody who's neurodivergent. And to go, oh, if I smell this smell, it flips that switch in the brain that says, oh, now it's chill time. Everybody else in the brain, shut up. So I absolutely love that part of your book, which is so good. But, you know, one of my favorite morning rituals, similar to yours, is I like to make coffee. And while my coffee brews, I go and love on my puppies. And that kind of signals to my brain that we're going to chill. We're not going to have chaos. We're not going to do all the, you know, scary things. And it also takes my anxiety of immediately waking up when the alarm goes off, because for some reason, alarms make my anxiety raise. And going and loving on the puppies for a minute, it's like, okay, you can breathe. You're fine. The world's not ending. And if it is, there's nothing you can do about it. So it's okay. Just breathe. Which is really fun. So what was your favorite part of the book?
In each book, there is a moment where, you know, because I start with it, I'm a double Virgo, so I outline and then I have another outline and I have a list for my lists. Mm-hmm. And the original outline that I send in with the proposal is never the book that actually gets written. There's always a different chapter, something gets put in, something gets taken out for space. And there's always a spot where there's a spark that ignites in my imagination and my, whatever you want to call it. In Black Thorn's Botanical Magic, it was a dream I had about justice magic, where it occurred to me out of the blue, I was in a dream actually, that the date, time, and place of birth that we might use for a spell to relate to a single person, you can do the same thing with a lawsuit, with a petition, with, you know, something before the court to either empower or disempower, depending on your needs, a specific thing. And so I wake up, it's not two in the morning because I'm still awake at two in the morning. It's the middle of the night for whatever it was at this point. And so I have to read, I jump down to the computer and I write 5,000 words. Mm-hmm. Well, in this book, that spot happened to be, I had a dream and it was the idea of creating a servitor, creating a thought form, creating a magical being to embody in my ritual tools to help me do the care tasks that I was having a hard time getting done myself, whether it was because of the ADHD or because I was feeling disheartened from the lack of being seen I was having mm-hmm. with my doctors, whatever it was, my brain says, this makes all the magical sense in the world. Why has no one ever done this? Why have I never heard of this? So I had to sit down and figure out how to put that into a practice that could be replicated by other people.
Well, that was actually a really kind of cool thing because I have a work servitor that sits on my desk, and it's actually in the form of a Halloween prop. It's one of those like little plastic raven skeletons. And I bought it, A, because I loved it, and B, because I was like, you know what? I want to ask a spirit of my creation to come into this and help me focus for work. And it will sit on my desk, and when I start to get distracted, I can be like, Edgar, I need a little juice here. Help out. And yes, his name is Edgar. So, and he is my little work servitor. So it was really kind of fun to see that in the book as well. And it's like, why have I never done this for healing and dealing with chronic illness and the crazies that come with that? Why have I never done this? And my poor healing altar, I feel so bad. I make, I guess it comes from years of like guilt and trauma and all this other stuff, but I make a point to try to light candles once a week just as an apology to my healing deities, because I'm like, I call on you guys way more than I feel like I should. And I know that it's a trauma thing and I know it's a guilt thing, but it's also one of those things where I'm like, I feel bad. I shouldn't like call on you this much to, you know, make me not, you know, freak out over this crazy pain that I can't replicate or figure out where it's coming from or why this is happening. And that's the thing with being chronically ill. When something new happens, it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And it's so hard for you to sit back and go, oh, you're not crazy. You're just having a nerve spasm. You're not going to die. Everything's fine. And so I, you know, will have to put a lot more healing energy into my healing altar. But as I was reading the servitor part, I was like, this is just brilliant. And I should add this into my healing practices that I do already. And it's something that I thought was so ingenious. And I'm so glad that it's your favorite part of the book. But it was such a genius moment. It really was. That it's like, why has nobody else outlined this?
Thank you so much. Because, you know, we take it for granted as authors. You know, I'm sitting in my office and I'm pounding on the keys and I'm yelling at the walls. There's a point, and it happened in writing Botanical Magic, that my brain finally understood that I'm writing this now, but at some point it's going to go out into the world. And the moment it goes out into the world, it's no longer just mine. Right. It's everyone's. It belongs to the world, and people get to have their own experiences with it and their own feelings about it. But this is going to last. This is going to be here and on the shelves and in people's bookcases long after I'm gone. Mm-hmm. And so there's this piece that has this existential debate every time. You're like, okay, what needs to exist in the world after I'm gone? What do I want people to remember? There's the idea of leaving that legacy. Mm-hmm. Because each book, each individual project takes a piece of our soul.
Absolutely.
I just am really lucky in that I get to pick which piece it is.
I had...
And so...
Oh, I'm sorry, finish up.
No, go ahead.
My apologies. I had, you know, because I write fiction books as well. And so I had a professor in college when I was getting my creative writing degree that told me authors are the voices of other beings or entities or spirits or whatever you would like to call them that we bring to life in written form. And so, you know, as somebody who has also worked on nonfiction, seeing a nonfiction part of you, it's like, how does that apply? I can see how that applies from a fiction perspective, but it's like, wow, how does that apply from a nonfiction perspective? And I think you just summed that up very beautifully, that it's not so much that it's other spirits or voices or other creations that are out in the world that it, you know, impose upon you. It's parts of your own soul that are getting placed out in the world that live on long after you're gone. So part of you gets to remain in a voice of wisdom and reason and beauty and all the things that you encompass in all of your books. And so I think that's really cool because, you know, you are definitely one of those household voices in the witchcraft community that we can say, yes, that is an Amy Blackthorne thing. We know, you know, if we're trying to find some good information on herbalism or tea or anything like that that has encompassed many of your things, especially protection magic, because your protection magic book, I don't know how many copies I have recommended out there to the world, especially in today's world. And so, you know, you get to be one of those really cool voices that's going to live on for quite a while and influence not only witches of today, but the witches of tomorrow. So you put that beautifully, and yes, it is correct.
Thank you so much, because it's really hard to find the line between helping someone see themselves in my writing and making it about me. There's difficult stories in some of the pieces, especially in protection magic. There's some hard parts, and it's therapeutic for me to get them out there sometimes, and sometimes they stay in the book and sometimes they get taken back out. But it's hard to know where that line is, where someone is seen and heard and felt, and they know they're not alone, and that's what I'm really looking for. And someone coming up to me in the hallway at a conference wanting to ask about the most horrifying thing I've ever been through, like we're having a cup of coffee, and it can be a bit much. It's definitely difficult to figure out where that line is, because I don't know where how I'm going to feel a year from now, or 10 years from now, or 20 years from now about people knowing those very difficult things. All I can tell myself is that knowing that, for example, I had a hard time writing protection magic from the get-go because I know I needed to tell that story, but I didn't want to. Those minds are deep and dark and can be scary. But I couldn't write a single word. And yeah, it took me a couple months to actually get started on the book because I knew it needed to be written, but I didn't want to have to be the one to write it. Oddly enough, there's no one else who can do it for me. I had to call my editor, the amazing Judica Isles, and say, I feel like a fraud for writing this. And she says, I please tell me more. Let me help you figure this out.
We love Judica here. She's so awesome.
God, she's the best ever. I just love her. I would follow her to the ends of the earth.
Same. She is a gorgeous, gorgeous soul. We love Judica. If you haven't.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Also, if you haven't listened to the episodes with Judica to know how beautiful of a soul she is, you can also go back and listen to those as well. She is an amazing, amazing author and an amazing editor, and just she's great. We love her. Shout out to Judica.
So I said I feel like a fraud because I want to write this book. I'm really excited about writing this. I said, but I feel like a fraud because I've dealt with all these things. And she said, darling, that's why we want you to write it. Like anybody can write a book on protection magic, but we need your voice to be heard. You know, you've done these things, you've lived to tell the tale, that means that you succeeded. And so I was able to put to rest some of the demons that I have been wrestling with, and went in. I figured I'd get that part out of the way, and I wrote that entire chapter in 13,000 words, and I wrote that in probably a day. Mm-hmm. Because it just flowed out. And once that blockage was gone, I was able to go throughout the rest of the book. But I had to have that moment where I said, okay, like the vulnerable part of myself, where is that line? Where do I cut off that vulnerability and make sure that I'm protecting myself, but also protecting my readers?
Mm-hmm. I think you do a really beautiful job with that. And as somebody who's read many of your books, I would say that the Protection Magic book, that section was hard to read. Mm-hmm. As somebody who's also had similar traumas, and it was a very challenging read, but it was something that was necessary, because a lot of times there's so many voices that have had similar experiences out there, so many other people who have had those kind of experiences, and you know, we know that there's a dime a dozen of those experiences out there, but we don't get to hear the voices behind them very often, because a lot of times those voices are trying to be silenced. So having your story in that book, despite how difficult it was to read at times, and I'm not saying this for the audience that it's difficult to read because of writing and all that. No, it was beautifully written. It was painful to read, because you could feel all of Amy's pain. You could feel all the pain that I was experiencing from my own trauma. But it was a necessary read. And it was something that was so beautifully done, because it shows, yes, you need to have concrete physical protections in addition to magical protections. It wasn't something that you could just be like, oh, hey, you know, you need to have this, and, you know, here's the elusive reasons why. It's like, no, you need to have this because this has happened. These things happen all the time. And it's something that is so easily overlooked that you're just like, oh, that's never going to happen to me. It can happen to anybody.
And that was the part that I struggled with for a long time. Was I teach concealed carry classes. I teach self-defense classes. And I have a black belt. You know, I was shooting into competitions. I had done all the right things. Mm-hmm. The things that, you know, I've been told since I was, you know, birthed to keep myself safe, as though it's my responsibility rather than other people's responsibility not to do those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got all the certificates, and I got the pieces of paper, and I turned myself into James Bond to keep myself safe from the awful things.
You turned yourself into Lady Badass. That's what you did, because you are a badass.
And so I had to ask the officer who responded to the first call. I said, you know, I did everything right. Why am I being punished? Because I did everything right. So I was working in security. I was executive protection officer. And if somebody who this is their literal job can't escape having this happen, then someone whose job is not that, give yourself some leeway. Give yourself the gentleness that you need, because these things aren't our fault. And that was one of the things that it was so important to make sure was heard in Protection Magic, was this is not your fault.
Mm-hmm. That is absolutely correct. And, you know, it was one of those things. It's like, yeah, it was kind of shocking to, you know, read. It's like, yes, you have all of this, you know, criteria that would say yes, you would be very safe, and it still was something that happened to you. And you know, I think that's also something that kind of translates over to segueing to your other book, to your botanical wellness, you know, talking about disability and chronic illness. Those are not your fault either. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think you did a really good job of painting, that it's not your fault that your body decided that it didn't want to cooperate or didn't want to, you know, be 100% healthy or that, you know, societal standard, because you just can't expect that. You can't expect your body to be what somebody else thinks is their version of healthy. And you know, I think you've said it so well in your book that healthy is a not everybody's standard. I don't remember the exact line of it, but it was not the standard of the individual. It's the standard of society. Wellness is the standard of the individual.
And absolutely.
It was such a beautiful way that you put it. And I did notice there was a couple of content warnings in this book as well, which were not nearly as dark as the protection magic one. But the protection magic one is also something that book I recommend to everyone. Everyone. It doesn't matter if you are a magical practitioner. It does not matter if you are female or female presenting. It does not matter. You should read that book because it can happen to anyone. And you need to be making sure that you are taking precautions, not only magically and spiritually, but physically. And, you know, this book, we should also be trying to improve our wellness and how we see ourselves as well. And I'm not saying well as in addition to, I'm saying well as in how we see ourselves as okay, as well, as healthy. And, you know, I think you actually stated that you didn't like the word healthy in the book, which is true because, you know, it's like healthy. It's like, well, you know, society says this and this doctor over here says this and that one over there says that. And it's like, who the hell do I listen to? You listen to you. That's what you listen to. You listen to what makes your body feel good and makes you feel okay and makes you feel well and healthy, whatever that definition is, because not everybody's is going to look the same because your body doesn't look the same as everybody else's, and it's not supposed to. It is the average picture that doctors and wellness people tend to look at, not the individualistic, because there's not enough data out there to look at all the individualistic. It would consume everything.
I mean, if I was a woman in a salad commercial laughing at her salad, like things might look easier, but that doesn't mean they'd actually be any easier. Yeah. And our community wants to look for the reason why. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not things like the threefold law are actually applicable. I don't think they are.
I don't either.
But so we get asked, like, what did you do to deserve, you know, a body that tries to kill you once a week? I didn't do anything. This isn't my fault. I was not responsible for someone else's negligence. I was not responsible for hives that come from nowhere and disappear back to nowhere.
You know, that's the thing that, like, there was an article that was floating around, I think it was last week or something like that, that talked about the fact that if your ancestors caught the Black Plague and survived, you may be chronically ill today. Could you blame your ancestors? Sure, if you really wanted to, but it was also not their fault that they got sick. That just happens. You know, it's kind of like, it's not your fault that you catch a cold, and it's also not the person's fault who gave it to you. Colds can be airborne, and, you know, germs, and we could go into a whole germophobic conversation at that point, but we're not going to. But, you know, it's nobody's fault. It just happens. And how you learn to deal with that is actually kind of the lesson in that. It's like, okay, did you take care of yourself after you got sick? Or did you go infect everybody else? If you went and infected everybody else, I'm going to have to say bad, 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 bad. Don't do that. At least wear a mask if you have to go out and you're ill. We know this from COVID, and that's a thing. But, you know, talking about the threefold law, I laugh every time, you know, because I when I got into paganism, I started with Wicca. And because Wicca was everything, it was the big deal. And that was the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And everybody had a voice in Wicca. And Wicca was the big thing. It way overshadowed witchcraft. And it was the whole thing of, you live right by the threefold law. Well, the threefold law is great in theory, but not great in practice. And it drove a lot of early Wiccans and witches kind of mad, including myself, because you're trying so hard to become, oh, the perfect threefold law image. You're trying so hard to live this, and you're like, well, I can't think this bad thought, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this because this will, you know, become, no. Just, you be a good person, be you. You're going to go crazy if you try to, you know, do the whole, you know, do what you will but harm none thing. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that, because inadvertently you're always going to be harming something. And if you were to live by that, that's like trying to tell a lion to be a vegetarian because you don't want it to hurt the other animals. It's not how it's built. It's not how it's going to be. You're going to end up hurting something, some way, maybe to survive, but not, you know, you obviously shouldn't do it on purpose. That's the whole thing that nobody really would specify. That's like, you do what you need to do, but just don't do it on purpose.
Right. All we can do is try and be a better person than I was yesterday.
Exactly.
That's what my goal is.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's the other thing that, you know, talking about with wellness, if you're just trying to be better than you were yesterday, and being chronically ill, we all know that it's a minute to minute kind of day where you might be wake up and you're like, I'm going to go run a 5K today. And then by an hour later, you're like, no, I'm going back to bed. Because the body's like, that was cute. I'm glad you thought that that was funny. That was a good joke. Good for you. No. Get your ass back to bed. Yeah, I've been there. I've woken up and gone, hey, I felt great today. And it's like, I'm going to do all the things. No, you're not. Sit down before you hurt yourself. But that's kind of how the wellness is supposed to be. You're supposed to listen to your body and what your body says. And I think especially after living through 3 years of people who were once healthy and now are chronically ill because of long COVID and other implications that have come out of COVID, we are seeing that people are having to redefine their own definition of health and wellness. And your book came perfectly at a great time because so many people are searching for that. And it's definitely what they need. It is the book that I'm going, just like the protection book, it's going to be one of those number one books I'm recommending, because we need that voice. We need your voice to tell us, hey, it's okay for you to figure this out, and it's okay for you to be gentle with yourself while you do. And it also helps us figure out where we go in society as a whole when we start figuring out what wellness means to us as the individuals, because then we can figure out a collective voice from there. So it's such a good book. Such a good book. Oh, like I said, I could gush for hours about all of Amy's books. But let's talk a little bit about your tea store. How's that going? Has anything changed? Did you got any new stuff happening?
Always.
Always. let's talk about it.
That's my favorite part of the days that I feel like ADHD is my superpower, because I can have the creative input to create a tea, get it out there that day and say, okay, here it now exists. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Besla is?
I do not.
Besla is the spirit of the world tree in Norse mythology.
Okay, so I should know that as somebody who practices Norse mythology, but I always forget like names and stuff like that. That's not my ADHD friend. I forget all of the stuff that, you know, happens with the, like the important stuff with names. That's my thing, that I just forget all of it. It goes in one ear and out the other.
So I had that moment of, ooh, which is always the best, because I get the best teas that come out of it. The most recent version of that was The Magician.
Ooh, okay.
It tastes like orange Tootsie Pops. it's a creamy orange oolong with some almond, and so they blend.
Delicious.
Right? It's so good. So when I had this yearning to try and create something for the world tree, to have that understanding of not just the plant and the relationship between practitioners and the plant itself, mm-hmm. but how to really connect with that energy. This tea was actually the one that came out of that. So it's a Darjeeling base, but it's got some peppermint in there, and there's some lapsang souchong for the smoke of the leaves. Mm-hmm. If we look at traditional depictions of reading the runes, it's at the base of a tree, mm-hmm. because you're connecting the worlds, you're connecting your vision. And so there's a wisp of that lapsang souchong, and there's the mint that is evocative of the leaves of the tree, and the Darjeeling just has that warmth that wraps you in a hug and says, you know what? It doesn't matter what's coming next because you are ready for it.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. That sounds like it would also be a perfect tea for Yule.
Yes.
It sounds like it's got all those like beautiful like Yule notes that you would expect to, you know, be smelling and experiencing during that time of the year. So, oh, that sounds awesome.
My brain smells like pine trees right now just because we're talking about this.
Oh, I love that. I love that, you know, that talking about, you know, even in your book, you talk about this, about the different smells and the memories and everything else. But, you know, you were talking about that. And the one thing that always comes to mind with Yule is Boslem and oranges.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so you were talking about that. And I was like, I could totally see myself drinking a cup of that tea in front of a Christmas tree. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So if you're looking for a tea for that time of year, sounds like Amy's got some. So check out your store and remind me of the store link. I don't remember off the top of my head because, again, memory issues.
Blackthornsbotanicals.com. They're both plural. Black, you know, Blackthorn, obviously possessive. So blackthornsbotanicals.com. You can also get autographed copies of my books right there. And if you are not sure the rest of my catalog is for you yet, we will convince you, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the first 30 pages you can download for free on amyblackthorn.com. There are free links right there. You can read it on the e-reader on the web, or you can download it to whatever e-reader you'd like. I want you to know that this is something that resonates with you, that you need, that you want as a part of your life and your practice before you purchase it, because I know money is so important. Mm-hmm. The survival of literally everyone.
Right?
really capitalism. But I want you to know that this is something that you need in your life before you go out and purchase it. There are times we go to the bookstore and something seems like just exactly what I needed, and you get home and it's not the book you thought it was. So I want you to know that this is something you want and need in your life before you spend your hard-earned money for it.
That is so awesome. And yes, all of Amy's books are incredible. I own them all. I love them all. And I will rave about them all because they're all incredible. Especially if you're anybody who is interested in any sort of herbalism or botanical work, flower work, essential oils, etc., etc., you should definitely check out her books. They are worthy of every penny that you would like to spend on them. But the two that we have been talking a lot about, which are the Blackthorn's Protection Magic and Blackthorn's Botanical Wellness. Those are the two newest books out. They are incredible books, especially the Protection Magic, because I will tell everybody every single time that is a book you always need to have in your library because it has so much valuable information. And if you're somebody who's trying to heal the botanical wellness, that is your book. I promise. So, so good. Do you have any classes or anything coming up? I know the holidays are right around the corner, so I know a lot of authors are like wrapping up stuff for the holidays.
They are, which gives me a little niche to fill, which means that, you know what, if you're looking for something, you know, if you have, especially if you have traumatic family history with the holidays, I try and distract myself by taking classes rather than avoiding them. So I've got a couple different things planned. And if there's something you want, there's a catalog on the website for amyblackthorn.com and blackthornsbotanicals.com where you can download the classes that I've already offered online. You can download those classes right there. There's some free classes. There's free materials on my YouTube channel. You can find me on TikTok discussing different witchy topics at Amy Blackthorn Author. So I want to be able to make some friends and hang out with great people. And this job really allows me to do that. Mm-hmm. It allows me the opportunity to connect my personal experience with a lesson that really helps people absorb the information rather than just being talked at. No one wants to be talked at.
Yes.
I don't feel like anybody really learns the best that way.
No, because then you just feel like you're getting lectured at, and that's never fun. I also didn't know you were on TikTok. I'm gonna have to follow you on TikTok.
Fantastic.
I'm a TikTok aficionado. I follow more people than I actually post, but I absolutely love to connect with people on TikTok. It's my thing, to the point that I've had to go and unfollow like old accounts that, you know, aren't posting anymore because TikTok restricts me from following any more people. It's like, you have followed enough. You have like 9,000 people you're following. And I'm like, yes, but I love them all. It's like, stop restricting me, TikTok. I promise. I'm doing the good thing. I promise I'm not a bot. Just let me follow the people.
I'm just expressing myself.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm gonna have to definitely follow you on TikTok because I didn't know you were there. So this has been awesome, as wonderful. Check out Amy's books, check out her classes, check out her tea store, check out, go to her websites and do the things. Do them all. I promise you're going to love them. And let me know what you guys thought about the books. Let me know what you think about this episode. Check out the other episode we did with her earlier. I believe, I want to say that was in May. I don't remember off the top of my head.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So go check that out. The review for this book, Blackthorn's Botanical Wellness, will be on hearthandseed.com. Hopefully next week. God's willing that everything is still working the way that it's supposed to, and I don't run myself out with all my appointments this week. So if that's cool and that works, I will be posting that next week. Amy, again, thank you so much for being here. And everyone else who is listening, make sure you guys are taking care of yourselves. Make sure you're staying safe. And I will see you all next time. Bye, everybody. Mm-hmm.